Find and review with Wines Direct, breaking the mold of traditional wine retailers with their own unique flair, genuine passion and enthusiasm. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
If you're not a regular listener, we typically spend a lot of time focusing on wines and unusual choices. And I have a feeling today Formula One just might overshadow the
100%.
Wines. But don't drink and drive.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, good morning, Will. It's great to see you.
And
it's
you.
Fantastic. Usually my job here of any monthly kind of visit is to talk about wine, but I found out that we're going to talk about Drive to Survive. I'm a 100% huge Formula One fan. I adore Max Verstappen and how arrogant he is. I really love the whole saga that has happened between Christian Horner and the fact that the Austrians have tried to oust him and that he's more involved with the Thai part of Red Bull as well.
I was far more interested to know that he was going out with Jerry Halliwell.
Oh yeah, he is. He is. But there's also been speculation, which I am not endorsing speculation of what has come out in the media of what he could have or would, may or may not have done. But it's very, very interesting. It is hugely dramatic. Formula One is this great sport that has a whole load of people who walk around, look at you straight in the eye, shake your hand and stab you in the side. It is amazing drama. If anybody loved Coronation Street or something like this, this is Coronation Street on acid multiplied by 1,000. It is a brilliant sport.
Have you been paid by the producers?
It sounds like it.
Say how you really feel.
Yeah. And then there's my brother who looks at me, rolls his eyes and goes, yeah, disappoint me.
So. By the way, those are the voices of Gavin and Gareth Keogh from Wines Direct. And Lynn Berry has been substituted by Shannon Fogarty.
Hello.
Of Midlands 103 fame to, I was about to say, review the Formula One series on Netflix, but I have a feeling you're not going to be saying very much about this at all.
No, I'm very into Formula One, but I think I should let Gavin take over because he's definitely the expert here.
Well, as is tradition, what's going to wash down while we indulge in Formula One?
So we're going to northeast Italy. We're going to Friuli. This is where the home of Pinot Grigio is. Now, the first wine we actually have is a Pinot Grigio done by the San Simone family, but it's called Romato. It's actually done the traditional method. It's actually a little bit of skin contact with it, so it's called Romato. It's rusty.
Okay,
so it's
just
a little
do
bit
me
orange.
A favour, by the way. Hold up to the camera the bottle.
Yes, it's a slightly unusual bottle.
As a wine bottle, it is unusual. It's more shaped like a Bailey's bottle.
Yeah. That's correct. And again, this is traditionally what they used to have in Friuli. As a Pinot Grigio, and the reason why they used skin contact was it was a way to stabilize the wine to actually make it last a little bit longer. So it actually is, Pinot Grigio can be seen as maybe just one of those grapes, but like this is how they used to drink it there. It's actually one of my favorite wines. It's made by the San Simone family. It's two sisters and a brother. Antonio is a winemaker, the brother, and the two sisters run the business. I gotta love him. He stays as much as he can out in the vineyard. As I said, just with this wine, it's just a little bit orange because people have heard of orange wines. Orange wines are essentially white wines, but with skin contact. Generally, you don't have skin contact with white wines. And but there's just a slight bit of a blush here.
Does it make any impact on flavour?
It does. It definitely does. It makes it a little bit more savoury, because Pinot Grigio can be quite almost light and zesty, while this is a bit more body and a little bit more savouriness. And actually, telling you guys, it's much more food wine, but I would have it with anything.
Yeah, like this is like it's rich. It really is. Like Pinot Grigio, as Gareth says, really, really, really light. Mm. So, and it's able to go with anything. This is a bit more richness to it, which it's not going to scare anybody in terms of kind of being overly powerful or anything. But it's just for me, it's luscious and it's fantastic.
Isn't that the appeal of Pinot Grigio? That if you've got people coming over and you don't really know what sort of wine they prefer, Pinot Grigio is always a safe bet.
It's a light wine. Yeah. It's a crisp wine. It's very much there. But again, it's a name that everybody knows. And do you know why Pinot Grigio is so popular?
No.
Sex and the City. It's Cosmopolitan since really? Pinot Grigio. Yeah, that's where it came from. That's actually where it came from. And it's... As a result, essentially, I think what people are looking for is when they come in saying, right, I recognise that grape variety. Because there's like in Italy alone, there's about 600 varieties grown commercially. And some of them are completely unpronounceable. But you go in there, it's a Pinot Grigio. It's light, it's crisp. This should be something that if you're having people over that won't scare the horses. But
no, look, it's and look,
you meant to sip.
I did sip.
many times.
I love Pinot Grigio, I'm not going to lie.
Good, but this is better than anything else that you're going to have. So, like, so many people kind of come to me and go, I don't really know a lot about wine. Like, that's okay. I know what I like. I drink Pinot Grigio or I drink Sauvignon Blanc, and I like that. What else can I have? So here is your natural just, let's have a step away from where you currently feel comfortable.
Mm.
So...
Now, maybe just because I've switched from coffee to Pinot Grigio, which is not recommended, but there was an initial sharpness.
Yeah.
It's the sharpness, it's again, very, very important to what you drink just before, because a coffee will actually bring up the acidity receptacles, want of a better word, on it. Everything tastes a bit more acidic once you have coffee. So it's in theory, you shouldn't be drinking coffee before wine tastings and everything of 3 hours. I always do, but you just always have to expect that the first time.
And look, that's the same thing kind of, it's the same thing. Like, for example, if you decided to have a piece of chocolate with this, it would taste bitter. Because there's so much sweetness in your mouth. Mm. And that's why you have sweet wine with sweet things. And why you have, so that's kind of how that happens. So that's kind of why you get...
So I was just going back, before we go back to Formula One.
Absolutely.
And that'll be the end of the programme. So this Pinot Grigio from San Simone, colour matto, called Rusty. It's skin contact, a little bit of skin contact, which was the way to stabilise it. So it is a little... It's not orange, but there's a little bit of blush to it. And is a little bit more savoury. And has, as Gavin said, a lot more richness, a lot more depth, a lot more... it's more medium-bodied than light.
So price point then, considering it's a very popular grape.
€17 in our shops in Mullingar and in Athlone. They're the winemakers of the month as well. And I'm sure if you talk nicely to the lovely Ian in Athlone or the lovely Eamon in Mullingar, it might even be open for tasting. And plug, plug, plug. Guys, it is Mother's Day this weekend. Need to panic. This is your warning that Mother's Day is happening. You need to start buying something. And what better could you buy than a lovely bottle of Vermato?
By the way, have you another wine from the same maker there?
I have another one here. So the second wine that we have, so this is one of my favourite wines of all time. The reason being, this is different. So this is Sugano from San Simone, from the same producer. So they're both the, so San Simone are the winemakers of the month this month with us. And Sugano is a Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc is not native of the region itself, but it grows really well. It's really herbaceous and different. I love to have this. Now, I wouldn't put it as something to have as a wedding wine or to kind of the big groups or anything like that. This is one that's going to make you go, oh, that's a bit different, you know, but in a very good way. So
not in a Marmite way.
Not in a Marmite.
It's a real steak one.
Yeah. For me, it's a huge steak wine.
Have you had Cabernet Franc before?
Do you know what? I'm usually not a big red, but I haven't given red a proper try to say whether I like it
or
not.
You're amongst friends here. It's
fine.
Thank
you. You're still at that age where you drink wine for the sake of drinking. Red is to be experienced with food, and particularly with steak. Thank you. And by the way, don't feel the need to pour it down the bucket.
No, for this,
we will happily empty.
So I will.
For me, with this wine, the way that I always kind of put it is, so much wine, as you kind of said about Pinot Grigio, it can be, I'm just having something to have something in the house for when people come over. I like to have a bottle of this in my house so that when I am pouring red wine, we're kind of having a bit of a chat, I'll open this, not say anything, and I'll pour you a glass. And instantly be like, what is that? And it gets an instant reaction from this wine. That's what I love about it. It is a big, meaty steak wine. There's lots of herbs to it.
And can I ask, as a Pinot Grigio drinker and as somebody who doesn't normally drink red wine, what do you actually think of that? Like, I suppose on the nose, it's quite herbaceous.
It tastes very nice as well, because I think the red wine that I've had before would have been bitter.
Yeah.
This is actually...
So the bitterness comes from what is referred to as tannins. So tannins come from skin contact. It's that drying on the side of your mouth that you get. Like if you drink cold tea, you get that instant thing there. That's tannin. So tannin is dissolved by protein, and protein dissolves tannin. So if you have something that's highly tannic, you need to eat, you know, meat or cheese with it in order for that to work. So when somebody says, oh, that's quite tannic, a piece of cheese and drink the same thing, and it disappears.
With this wine, especially with Cabernet Franc, you get sort of very firm, sort of the sort of dryness just at the top of the gums and everything else. That's why you just have it with a bit of cheese. A bit of steak is absolutely perfect with it. Yeah. It'll just dissolve them and just have a lovely juicy wine at the end.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah. It's not peppery in the way that a Shiraz would be.
No, no, no. But you know, you're similar kind of. It's more kind of white pepper than it is the kind of black pepper there. Yeah, no. It's
did I sound like I knew what
you
I was
really
talking
did.
About?
You did. I'm very impressed.
Well done. Well done. Well, you know, very, very good.
So
know.
Some of it soaks in eventually. The knowledge, I mean, not the wine.
Both, sometimes, I think. But yes, look, for me, it's one of my favourite wines. And it was only when we started, actually, this month, we were using Sansimone as the winemaker of the month, as we always kind of feature a winemaker each month. I went, God, it's been a long time, actually, since I've drunk this myself. Mm. I went, that's fantastic. And it's never disappointed. It's still kind of back to one of our favourites there.
All right. We're going to take a quick pause for the cause. And then we're going to talk Formula One. In theory, the show ends at 12. In practice, who knows?
Rewind and review with Wines Direct, celebrating the sheer joy that exceptional wine brings and its power to forge connections among people. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
Shannon Fogarty, you are officially the reviewer today.
I'm excited.
We'll see if that works in practice.
I will critique your review.
All right. What are we talking about first?
Wow.
I'm feeling very judged right now. So we're talking about Formula One. We're talking about Drive to Survive Season 6.
Mm. And by the way, this is going since 2019. But for anybody who hasn't checked it out, what's the basic premise?
It basically follows the Formula One drivers and their teams and team principals around. And it's what I like about it is you get to actually meet the drivers and get to know them. An insight into them, which is what I really like, yeah. And how they're feeling during the races. Obviously, we all see the races and we see how they go and who wins, but you get an insight into them actually driving and what they're feeling, what they say when they don't win, what happens when they crash. You can see inside the car. So it's very interesting from that point of view. And
you're happy it's authentic?
Yes. Well, yeah, I hope it's. If it's not
in the sense that, you know, is there a performance for the camera? Are there some interactions that are staged?
What
is that? Oh, I didn't like that crash that you took at 100 kilometres an hour. Can you do it again, please?
Well, no.
You know the one that basically put you in a neck brace? Can we do that again?
Look, it is very, very interesting. So a couple of key things that happened in the last season, in Season 6, Drive to Survive, and what has happened in the last couple of months. One has been the issues within Red Bull. Two has been Gunther Steiner from Haas got fired by Gene, who he's always on the phone to. Number three, Lewis Hamilton has signed for Ferrari after he disingenuously signed an extension contract with Toto Wolff and with Mercedes, but because the Mercedes car is so bad, he's now going to go and cry in a Ferrari instead of crying in a Mercedes. I'm not a Hamilton fan at all. He just complains
really?
Way too much.
You couldn't tell.
No. So when you
I like Hamilton because he's one of he wasn't a rich boy. He really came up
you're
from you really came up from. From the estates.
And he did do well, but I think he was at his peak for so long that it was when it started to go wrong, instead of being humble about it and going, right, what can we fix? He kind of was like a child and threw his toys out of the cab and went, I'm perfect, you know, the car isn't right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, to be fair, the last year and looks like this year's Mercedes are not exactly great cars, and there's speculation that the technical director from Red Bull is going to migrate over to Mercedes as well. But there's all that kind of stuff is always going around.
So to bring it back a bit, just for people who don't know anything, how many teams are you really talking about?
So you're 10 teams. But then as well, there's two teams, which is Visa, Cash App, Toro Rosso, are also owned by Red Bull. So Red Bull have the number one team and also a junior team as well within the same thing. So you'll have a lot of people kind of giving out that Red Bull have two teams. So there are 10 teams there. It's incredibly expensive to get into it as well. Like the likes of Ryan Reynolds has invested into what is now Alpine, which was Renault. You know, you have, you know, it's a star-studded event anytime that you go to a race as well to see anything.
What's with him in buying up teams?
Ryan Reynolds
got Wrexham division.
Ryan Reynolds also owns, I think it's Mint Mobile in the States. I could be wrong if it's Mint or whatever, but he is incredibly wealthy and has made some incredibly good financial decisions upon where to point his wealth.
I hate him even more now.
Yeah, I know. And he's married to Blake Lively, who is
stunning.
Absolutely stunning. You know, and fair play to him. He also
and he's
out,
nice.
Yeah, he's nice.
And he's funny.
He also went out with Alanis Morissette.
That's ironic.
Yeah. And the, apparently the very last that secret song song at the end of that album, Jagged Little Pill, apparently it was written about him. Anyway, I digress. Random bits of information that I know. Back to Formula One.
So we really did digress. No, but,
my reason about the authenticity, my reason for asking, I love the Grand Tour, formerly Top Gear. Mm-hmm. Three Absolutely. Boys going around doing their stunts. Brilliant. But over the years, you could see it became more and more contrived and scripted.
Yes.
And this is season six. And I'm wondering, is some of it put on?
I would say just there are a couple of things that, like, for example, Gunther Stein from Haas turns around to camera on season six and kind of goes, oh, well, it's not going to work. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to tell Gene that I'm not doing this. Apparently, then he gets fired, or did he get a sponsor for 20 million and decides to leave himself? That seemed very good. You know, the scene where Jerry Halliwell and Christian Horner are standing in their living room with their kids with Santa Claus, and Santa Claus looks at him and goes, has Daddy been a good boy this year? And you're kind of going, that is very, very,
and why is it?
There was an internal investigation into conduct by Christian Horner. Now, what has transpired, what's come out in the press, I am not going to put my hands up and say that he's done anything. I would like to believe that he has not done a thing in the world.
Yes. For the sake of our libel insurers, yeah. I prefer you didn't.
Exactly. And I'm a huge fan of Christian Horner. I think he's very straight-laced in a lot of respects. But it was just, you know, I thought that was definitely put in there because of what's happened, you know. Yeah. And, you know, then you get kind of Lewis Hamilton on kind of going, yeah, well, you know, my contract's up, isn't it? And I'm not really sure if I'm happy and the car's not very good and I don't feel anybody's listening to me. And then, dun, 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 he goes over to Ferrari. You know, so, you know, I kind of felt that they were kind of like last minute cuts thrown in the last, which was probably, you know, can be done.
It is edited very well.
It is.
It's edited very well. Yeah, no, it is very good.
Final question on it. So I haven't seen the first five seasons. Would you have to go to the beginning, or could you jump in and just watch season six?
I think you could jump in.
And in fact, would some of the old material be redundant and out of date?
I feel like look, if you want to watch Lewis Hamilton win a lot.
I don't.
And obviously go back and watch 1 to 4, 3. But you don't have to go from season one. Because they kind of do little backstories. If someone has changed, they kind of go through, they've been with this and now they're here and this is what happened. So you can just dive into season six, I think.
I would also agree that you can dive into season six. Personally, as an F1 nerd, I like going back to season one and going, yeah. Oh God, that's been Danny Rick. Oh, that, do you remember when he was with Red Bull and he was a good driver? Who's he with now? Avatar, where did he come on 17th? Was he driving?
Gareth.
Here?
Please tell me you've got more wine.
Yeah, I really do. Sorry. I went into a zone there. Right. Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
So we've got Refosco. We're going to start again, San Simone. Refosco is a native grape from Fuili. What the great thing about this is that this actually used to be their Reserva vineyards, and they've actually all but basically put all the vines into one. So really,
I'm going to ask a really stupid question. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've often seen the term Reserva.
Very good question.
What does it mean?
It depends on where you are. In Spain, it is it basically means that it has to be at least like for Rioja and stuff like that, 24 months in oak, and then 24 months in bottled. It's about aging. Generally speaking, it doesn't mean anything. It's just something that they can actually put. It's not a protective term. So Reserva basically means, oh, they're better vines, or they're better grapes, or they're better juice, or they're better. Uh-huh. But it's down to individually.
Add a euro or two per bottle.
Definitely, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But this was actually their step up of their vines, and they've now amalgamated them. So they don't have Reserva anymore. They just have one label for the Fosco. And for me, it's a lot better. Now, for those of you who like lower alcohol wines, this is about 12.5%, 13% alcohol. So it's lower red, but it still has, and instead of having like the last wine that we had, which you definitely needed with meat or something like that, it's quite tannic. It's a little bit tannic, like that dryness around the gums. This is actually more fresh. It's lighter, it's juicier. This is more, we're going to summer, so a light summer drinking wine.
What did you say? More pungent?
It's more pungent. It smells...
There's more aromas. There's a bit of spice in there. There's definitely sort of like a bit of blackcurrant, a bit of strawberry, tiny bit of maybe red berry in there. But as even when you look at it, if you were to compare the two, even the colours of the two wines when they actually came up, this is actually a lighter grape.
I was going to say, this is a bit lighter than the last.
And generally speaking, when you actually see something that's lighter, that means it's going to be lower in tannins. And the reason being is it means contact with the skin or the thickness of the skin was thinner. As a result, the colour is where you get is from the skins, which means, generally speaking, there's going to be less tannins.
Now, look, when you're smelling that as well, think about kind of when you're smelling wine and kind of you're getting all of the fruit and all the rest of it. The further south you go towards the equator, the warmer it's going to be. Mm. So the warmer it's going to be, the more sunshine, the more fruit, the more ripeness that you're going to get. When you go further north, like into northern Burgundy, it's going to be leaner, much thinner, lighter varietals. So that's kind of when you go down to the likes of Puglia and you have, you know, very big kind of wines there, they are almost raisined. Mm. And that's because of sunshine, which then also translates.
And the question is, are they going to be continuing to be growing grapes in there in 20 years' time because it's gotten too hot? Yeah. We're actually starting to find in some areas that they're actually growing grapes, grape varieties that they didn't grow before. They couldn't ripen properly.
Yeah.
And now that they're, now they are, for example, they're growing Malbec was, for example, a blending grape in Bordeaux. It's now, they're now doing single varietals because it never really ripened properly, but now it ripens properly. Same here as well. Refosco was very difficult grape, but now it ripens properly. Why? Because they're getting hotter and hotter summers.
And 100 years from now, we could have Pinot Midlanzo.
You could do, as long as was it the Atlantic drift that we're getting up from the bay down from Mexico
the Gulf Stream.
Yeah. There we go. Gulf Stream.
There's a concern that it's starting to weaken,
and we'll drop 15 degrees of temperature.
That'll solve some problems.
Yeah, it will
indeed. But if you look at the Labrador currents coming down, so that is the thing that really should be influencing how cold we are. Like if you look at latitude, longitude of where we are, and everything's under snow, and we're kind of there going, "Hell yeah!"
We're the same latitude as Minsk.
Yeah.
So we should have meter of ice on the canal here, you know.
Yeah, well, thankfully we've central heating this morning.
Absolutely.
Can I ask a bit of a silly question?
Yeah.
Does altitude?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, that's another thing. Yeah, this is actually a high altitude wine. For every 10 meters, you drop a degree. Oh, sorry, 100 meters, you drop a degree in temperature, and as a result, so that's why a lot of people are actually growing vines higher and higher up mountains. Yeah. And actually, there's some guys buying wine, some winemakers buying wine. They bought 10 years ago, a land in the up in the Pyrenees that is completely unsuitable for growing grapes at the time, but is now starting, still not suitable, but they're saying in the next 10 years, they'll be able to start growing grapes there.
So just to let you know, the Refosco there that you tried is €14.40 on offer at the moment, down from €16. The Cigano is €15.95, down from €17.75, not €18. And then the Romato is on offer as well at €15.95 versus
€17.75. Oh, wow.
Available in Mullingar, Athlone, and online on winestrike.ie. And everybody, please remember, it is Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, very important.
Which brings the programme to a close at, look, the stroke of 12.
My goodness.
So, Gareth and Gavin from winesdirect.ie, Shannon Fogarty from midlands103.com, thank you very much for your time. Sinead of the Hubbles put it all together, and we'll be here tomorrow for a very special broadcast for International Women's Day.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct, redefining the wine retail experience with their witty charm and lively personalities. winesdirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.